Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, and welcome to the Carson Anderson program. I am Doug Karsh. That is Scott the Gator Anderson. 24-9 Lions beat Tampa. And Gator, if I look at this, and you know, I mentioned before the break, the most important thing, and there's a lot that goes into, you know, the digesting of wins and losses immediately afterwards. I think we really need to have a long conversation, and maybe today's not even the day, but I really want to talk about Calvin Shepard as a defensive coordinator. He has been, I think, exceeded our expectations is a realistic way to put it. I don't want to overstate it or understate it, but Calvin Shepard has come in and just alleviated the fears of losing Aaron Glenn. He's done a great job. And, you know, there's always counters. There's always, you know, hey, here's what you're doing. So everybody's going to do this to you and do that to you. And then you gotta react to their reaction. And so there's still ways to go here. There's no point in doing full victory laps at this point. It's off to a good start, isn't it?
It's off to a great start. And Calvin Shepard is a big reason why. It's, you know, he's a different guy, different dude, and they're getting similar results of what they had with Aaron Glenn. And last night's game, I mean, that's a standout game for him. Right, it's the players that make the plays, the players that have to eventually get out there and do it. But he had them prepared. Yeah. He had them ready to go. Some of these guys had just a couple days practice. And some of these guys have only had a week's practice or a couple weeks practice. These are practice squad players. These are players that picked up from other teams' practice squads. And it's remarkable that they're able to step in and do the job that they did. But the secondary last night, they stole the show. In a show that had a spectacular performance from Jahmyr Gibbs, an electrifying run. The defensive front really made an impact. Ali McNeil, welcome back. He was incredibly disruptive. Derek Barnes, have a game. Nice job from him. But it was the secondary that shined because nobody expected anything out of those guys. And that's, It's unfair, but it's the harsh reality. That's the truth of going into the game. Did not have a real comfortable feeling about how the secondary was going to fare against Tampa when you heard that guys were coming back. Abuka suited up, and you know you had Evans out there. Otten, the tight end, was used heavily, and they have other receivers too. And I always feel like receivers definitely have the advantage over the secondary because of the rules, first of all. But second of all, it just feels like there's more good quality receivers than there are corners in the league. And it's tough to be a corner in this league.
It's such a tough job.
And they did an amazing job. I think, you know, by stats, I guess I would have to look at the stat sheet again on ESPN, but I thought that there were like 12 passes defended for the Lions. Yeah, 12 passes defended for the Lions. Now, in contrast, so we can understand this, there were two from Tampa. So these are passes that are knocked down the line of scrimmage, like you saw Derek Barnes do, like you saw Ali McNeil do. And then these are passes that are up in the air and knocked away before the receiver has a chance to clamp down and catch it. Nick Whiteside led the team with three of those. That's a lot. This team was ready to play, and you take your hat off to Kelvin Shepard and you just give him a loud round of applause. He deserves it.
And he was a linebacker, right? I mean, when he played, Kelvin Shepard was a linebacker. The fact that he has come in here and done such a good job as a defensive coordinator, hats off to, you know, it's too late, but champ of the weekend, Kelvin Shepard, for the job that he has done. 248-539-9797. So much to digest. They're 5-2 at the bye, which I think everybody would have taken at the beginning of the season. You know, I think we do this very weird thing now in Detroit. And I want to make this statement, understanding that these calls came in this morning. We need to realize that each week after the Lions play, we do not need to complain about somebody not getting the football. After every game, somebody on offense doesn't have as many touches. And that's just the way it's going to be when you have this many weapons. And I feel like we don't need to address a crisis every Monday or Tuesday after the weekend and say, yeah, but so-and-so's not getting the ball. The job is to win the game. The job is to win the game. And, you know, when it's all over, the wins count the same, whether J-Mo got the ball or not. Whether, remember at the beginning of the year, it was Sam Laporta's not getting the ball. And then there was, well, I got to get David Montgomery more involved. And, you know, everybody's going to have their day eventually, I feel like. And some more than others. But these aren't crises that need to get addressed every week.
No, they're not. And you have to look at the totality of what happened in the game. What was the game plan and what changed during the game? And when you've got the hot hand of Jahmyr Gibbs, you're going to let him run the ball. And he did. He had 17 carries in the game, and yeah, they threw to him a few times as well. And that was the focal point of the offense. And I credit somebody in this room, and it's not me. Oh, it's you, Doug Karsh, for pointing out yesterday this could be a big game for Jahmyr Gibbs because what Gibbs has done in the past against Tampa. Despite what Dan Campbell said last week about David Montgomery and needing to get him more carries and all this, needing to get him more involved in the offense, you went back and looked, and it was, yeah, astute. They had some nice gains from Jahmyr Gibbs in the previous games against Tampa, so it made sense. Lions are running the football. That's what they were trying to do. And then in the end of the game, they're just trying to get that clock to tick, 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 and the best way to do that is to run the ball. Did they do it that successfully?
No,
not really. No. I mean, they had 164 yards rushing, which looks awesome, you know, but big chunk of that came in the one play, and then it's like 100 yards, less than 100 yards after that. But they ran it 32 times. 32 times. So, yeah, your targets aren't there for receivers like J-Mo or Tesla or Sam Laporta, but that's how the game,
the game totally dictates
what you're going to do, and you have to understand that. You know, on the other side, you look at, well, look at all the targets that they gave to Tez Johnson and Abuka and Kate Otten. They threw it 50 times.
Yep.
And 12 of those were knocked down.
Yeah, that's a lot of pass breakups. 248-539-9797. Thomas, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Thomas.
Thomas,
do you have us on speaker? Because if you do, take us off speaker. It's hard to understand you.
Okay. Hold on.
Kind of have.
Thomas, you've been on hold for a long time. I want to give you your chance.
Yeah.
But
You're good.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I get tired of these bandwagon fans complaining about, oh, they didn't score any more points. They didn't get J-Mo on the ball. Tampa, I mean, like, I'm like, I had to tell a guy last night, I said, you forget Tampa Bay got a good front four. They were throwing 6 or 7 guys at the front four because they're trying to pick and choose who they're going to stop. And it just so happens, like I said, Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown had the high hand. Now, I kind of like the changes that he kind of made in the second half trying to get the ball to Laporta. I thought maybe they could have threw some swing passes or not, I ain't going to say swing passes, but maybe like some bubble screens or something like that to J-Mo. Maybe get him in space a little bit. But everybody plays their role on that team. And sometimes you just got to go with what's working for the time being. And And like I said, Jared Goff had a lot of pressure in his face. And for him to stand in that pressure and take those sacks and get the ball out when he needed to, they did a hell of a job last night.
Thomas, thank you for the phone call. When we talk to Jared every week and we bring up the complaints that we get about so-and-so not getting ball or that person getting, Jared always says the same thing. It's totally dependent on what a defense is doing. He goes to the receiver that the defense dictates he should go to. And so the Lions call the plays. The defense is when it comes to passing the ball, it's how the defense plays the Lions that dictates where the football goes. More often than not, it feels like that to me, and that's what Jared says. But, hey, thanks, 248-539-9797. Lots to digest from last night's game. It's Carson Anderson. We got open lines. What is the most important thing you have learned about your Lions after 7 games? What is the most important thing you've learned about your Lions here after 7 games? It's Carson.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket. A big win for the Lions, 24-9 over Tampa, and what is overwhelmingly a positive result. If you take a look at the NFC right now, the Packers are 4-1, and then there are 6 5-2 teams. Detroit is obviously going to play the Packers again in what is going to be a huge game later this year. They also are going to play 2 more 5-2 teams. They are 1-0 against the other 5-2 teams beating Tampa. They're going to play Philly and the Rams. And so they're positioned nicely to take care of business. We'll see what it leads to. But with all the tiebreaker ramifications of last night, that was big. That was pretty darn big. Over a team that had an offense that was averaging, I think it was 6th best in the NFL. They were 27.5 points a game, 6th best in the NFL. 244 yards passing a game, which was 7th in the NFL. They scored 9 points, and they had 210 yards passing on 50 attempts. That's hard to believe. But Lions defensively, in spite of being shredded by injuries, did a hell of a job. And we had, you know what? None of the predictions were particularly close, but one was closest. And we will get to that today at 10:31. No Jared Goff today. We usually have him on Tuesdays during the season bye week. Jared has the week off.
He's off.
He is off. Let's get to your phone calls. We got Elias here on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Elias?
Hey, fellas. You guys can hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I think the biggest thing I've learned over the last 7 games, and this is a big concern prior to those 7 games, is that grit, it runs through the blood, and it doesn't matter what coordinators are in that position. We lost big coordinators, and here we are with two new offense or one new offensive, one new defensive, and they're still doing exactly what they were doing last year. They still have that grit running through their blood. And I don't think, I think there was a lot of doubt that, we were going to see them be this electric this year.
It's really interesting, Elias, specifically defensively, given their losses and a new defensive coordinator, that they did to Tampa last night what they did. 9 points.
It was one of our two losses last year. I think everybody, and it was the black uniforms, I think, last year that we lost to Tampa. Or maybe I'm wrong there, but the black uniforms always kind of are iffy. They look badass, but I feel like we don't always perform that way. And we showed Tampa who was boss. That was an incredible performance. I couldn't imagine being at the game. That was an electric audience too.
It was loud.
Yeah.
It was seriously loud from beginning. I'm not going to say to end because there were so many fans that left with several minutes to go, but it was extraordinarily loud when it needed to be. And it was a great performance by the defense. And, you know, individually, there's some good performances offensively. But overall, the offense has a lot of work to do. And I think it might just simply be what they have to do up front to get better protection for the quarterback and just handling whatever blitz packages. Look, you may just want to tip your hat to Tampa and say they know what they're doing. The coach is really good.
You got
to
give Todd Bowles credit. Yeah. If you look at who is handcuffed the Lions offense consistently the most, it's Todd Bowles in Tampa. 16, 20, and 24. The playoff game was 31, which feels in retrospect like an offensive explosion against Tampa. They've got players, and they got a coach who's really done a nice job against Detroit. Now, keep in mind, okay, that Detroit has won three of the four matchups. I mean, they've done well against Tampa. But
they've been contained.
But they've been, Tampa does a nice job. And there's give credit where credit is due. And it's not like this is out of the blue. You know, the Bulls has a reputation and they can do some good things. And they have given the Lions some problems. And you go, oh, it's going to come back to haunt them. It may, but they have won three of the four games. And I think a lot of it, sometimes you just tip your hat to the other guy. Let's go to Terry in Detroit. You're next. Hi, Terry.
Hey, what's happening, fellas? Good morning.
Hey.
It's an awesome morning. What I've learned, not just this seven games, but this team has embodied the Detroit sports team ethos. I mean, it feels like the Pistons, a build-up to what we did in 90 and build-up to 04. And I'm loving it, man. The only thing that we should do right now, and honestly, put the hammer down and go ahead and get Trey from Cincinnati. We can spare a draft pick. I mean, just put a foot on their necks.
Well, let me ask you this, Terry.
Put the hammer down.
Do you think that's the move to get, or do you think the move is to go get a top defensive back?
I think we're kind of good on backs. I think we kind of got proved that last night. And with Branch coming back and also a couple more guys, hopefully Terrion gets it back together and really gets it together. But I think we need to just put the hammer down and send a message that we're not just going to build through the draft, which has been good. But at the same time, let's go for the jugular. I mean, Philadelphia would do it. And right now with Z retiring, somebody's lurking.
So here's Terry. Here's the problem. Yesterday, I think it was Diana Rossini has pointed out. Her sources are telling her, and we heard it last week from somebody else. Cincinnati is not planning on trading Trey Hendrickson. Now they can, they might just be trying to drive up the price and tell everybody that. But I tend to believe it. I mean, Cincinnati is hung around, and teams just don't give up on seasons if they have a chance to make the postseason. So Kang, didn't you shoot the boot guarantee that Trey Hendrickson would not? No, we made a bet with Gator. I'm sorry.
It's a lunch bet with Gator.
Yes. Gator thinks Trey Hendrickson's going to get traded. You nor I don't. You do have a shoot the boot guarantee we'll get to later.
What a tease.
Yeah. But seriously, I don't think he's going to get dealt.
I think it's a lot of posturing that early. But to your point, Cincinnati's not out of it. And they just played a game where they looked pretty good. Like Joe Flacco. I mean, maybe it helps when you're throwing about 23 times to one guy and Jamar Chase, which is literally what he did.
It's crazy.
I don't know if you can do that each week, but I believe they have a couple of very winnable games leading up to the trade deadline, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't it like Cincinnati, or I'm sorry, the Jets in Chicago, I think? And that's going to the trade deadline. Now, Chicago's on a heater here, winning four in a row after getting smoked by the Lions. So, you know, careful what you wish for. But if you're Cincinnati, it's hard to trade a piece if you're right in the thick of the playoff hunt, and not only the playoff hunt, but the division. Right?
Yep.
I mean, anything can happen when you're cannibalizing yourself within that division, but we'll see what happens the next couple weeks. Someone's going to make them an offer that maybe they can't refuse, and we'll see. I mean, there's one thing of making a playoffs. It's another thing of understanding that you're destined to fail in the playoffs.
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. CO Lions fan last night or yesterday tweeted us 30-13 Lions. The Lions don't have a secondary, but Tampa's receivers and running backs are hurt. The final was 24-9. Missed the Lions by 6 points, missed the Buccaneers by 4 points. CO Lions fan, well done. You had the best prediction of everyone who texted and called and that we saw. I know some texts come in and we don't see, but all the tweets, I was able to go through those. So well done, my friend. Well done. You were the closest in terms of predictions on this game yesterday. And it was it's a good win. I know that football is not a game of perfect is something that Lloyd Carr used to say. And as time goes by, I'm realizing how much teams get judged to a perfect standard when the standard they should be judged on is the other teams in the league. Tampa was leading the way in the NFC. And had done some great things offensively, and they've got a good defense. And yes, they're banged up. So are the Lions. And I would say that was pretty safely a decisive win. You know, it wasn't a dominating performance in every facet, but they won by 15. And as a 5-point favorite, and Tampa, you know, the end of that game was wild. It was like Tampa would get the football, dink and dunk all the way down the field, take up 4 or 5 minutes, turn it over on downs. The Lions then would go 3 and out and punt it back. And Tampa would dink and dunk all the way down the field and turn it over on downs. And the Lions would go 3 and out and punt it back. And it just was like this slow bleed at the end of the game. And I give the Lions a ton of credit for finding a way.
It was strange. Both teams had 8 possessions in the first half. That's a ton.
Wow.
8 possessions.
Yeah.
Tampa had the double dip. And that's all they had was the double dip. They got 3 points at the end of the first half after the Goff interception, where I think he clearly did not see Jamel Dean. They kicked the 53-yard field goal, and then they start the second half off with a touchdown, go for two, and don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
248-539-9797. Harlan, you're next on 97 on the Ticket. Hi, Harlan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good,
all
sir.
Right.
Okay, I'll make it short and sweet. As an avid fan since the mid-50s, it's obvious. Defense wins games. Offense loses them. Like, simple as that. And I got to throw this one in. For all these fans that are wanting to get rid of Stevie Y, get back under your rock. Leave the man alone. He's an all-star in any asset of the game. So, hey, thanks for the time.
Hold on. I want to ask you a question. What is defense wins games, offense loses them mean? I don't know what that means.
Figure it out. Come on. You don't have to ask me. You know more about it than I do. But did you watch that game? Watch them all the time. Defense stops the offense, and the offense goose up, gives the other team a chance.
Boom. Mic drop.
Defense wins them. Offense loses them.
Come on. You're picking up what he's putting out.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
He's back in the old school way and defense wins champions.
Dan, you just got served, man.
Yeah, I totally see
served.
That.
Yes, I got served.
That just happened.
Yes, it did. I will step back. I've been told off by Harlan. Do you know what it means?
He's the old school defense wins championships guy.
Yeah, but he didn't say that.
But that's what he was implying. I mean, you know.
You figure it out.
Yeah.
You've been around long enough. You know what I'm talking about.
In the last 6-7 years, if you look at the teams that are in the playoffs, more often than not, it's the best offenses in the league. Teams that are winning Super Bowls, typically the best offenses in the league. Philly kind of went against the grain a little bit. I think they rode their defense more than most. But I used to be in that category. And he didn't say defense wins championships. He said defense wins games, offense loses them.
I think it's basically the same thing.
Do you? No. I don't believe that that's true anymore. If that's what he was saying, I disagree with him, but I'll figure it out.
You lack the experience.
248-539-9797. Bob is next. Hello, Bob.
Good morning.
What's up?
I wanted to talk about how Campbell handled the last 2 minutes of the first half. I thought he could have done a lot better job in not only the play selection, but the use of the clock. I thought there was an opportunity for him to get another shot at a field goal, and I was just wondering if you got that same feeling.
Which I mean, they had a bunch of possessions near the end, yeah.
Well, the last 2 minutes of the first half.
When they threw the interception?
Well, more about play selection, and I don't remember him throwing in it. Maybe he did throw an interception. I was just thinking, yeah, he's not running very good. I just thought they could have done a better job of, I think, the
of
first
not throwing an interception. Run. So what did you have? What did you want him to do? They got the ball back with, let me check this out.
146.
146 to go. They're on Tampa's 48.
Okay. So the first play was a running play, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And yep.
Okay. And I thought maybe they should have thrown the ball there a little close.
They threw it the next play for 8 yards. Then they threw it again for a yard to get they ran it again for a yard to get the first down. Now there's 46 seconds left. Tampa's called their second timeout. They go to throw and Jared Goff gets sacked with 28 seconds left with a timeout. I'm sorry, that would be their second timeout. And then Goff throws the interception. So they were throwing the football, trying to score,
but
they threw an interception.
Maybe we should say.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you shouldn't have made this call.
No, Bob, it's okay. I mean, look, it was a very odd first half and sort of uncharacteristic in that they miss a field goal, they throw an interception, all in like the last 2 minutes.
I was kind of hoping Montgomery would get a few more carries so that maybe he could score a touchdown and then they would have each had a touchdown and added to their record.
Yeah, I wanted to see that too. Unfortunately, they just didn't get down in that kind of a situation.
I mean, aren't those things kind of irrelevant?
Well, they'll happen again.
But they happen throughout the course of the game.
When it happens, when they do score, both players score again in the game, I'll love it because it'll knock the Cowboys off the top.
I would not craft a game plan around stuff like that.
No, I don't think he was saying craft a game plan. I think it's just it would have been nice to see if that could have happened. It didn't happen because they didn't find themselves at the goal line where you hand it off to Demo. Instead, they were at the 5-yard line, hand off to Gibbs, and he broke a tackle and scored a touchdown to go with a 78-yard touchdown. And they only had one other scoring play, and that was the touchdown pass to St. Brown early.
248-539-9797. Mark is in Detroit and next. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I want to talk about the offense had an off game a little bit, but they bound to have that. But I thought the defensive game plan was outstanding. And what a job of Mink Roberts has been. I mean, the guy, they've got to re-sign him. This guy is outstanding.
Well, he's Mark really gritty. I mean, right now, he's their best defensive back. He's still standing, which is awesome. But
and he goes for the football last night. When he made that punch out, clean punch out of the football. Can tackle, he's gritty, he's sticky, he's tough. Doesn't back. I mean, they got to resign him. What an outstanding free agent signing that was.
You know, it depends. It depends how much he wants. It kind of depends on how much he wants, right?
Yeah, but you know, he's worth keeping. I would keep him.
I'm sure they'd love to try
when they play like that.
Always at the right price
on all three phases. Can't nobody beat if we stay healthy. We're gonna make it to the Super Bowl, I think, this year.
Well, they could. I mean, it's sure. I'd like to see Amik Robertson back, but that's like saying I'd like the Range Rover. Well, if you do that, you can't afford the house payment. Yeah, but I'd like the Range Rover, but then you can't afford the house payment. There are other guys that are probably more important to pay than Amik Robertson. So if they can fit him under the cap, I think they'd love to have him back. I remember when they got him from the Raiders, there was talk about how, hey, this guy's a playmaker. Like, he is a playmaker and can definitely be an asset to this football team. And
well, you think about the reputation that he had. It was, okay, was this great, could be nickelback corner. He's undersized, but he's tenacious.
Yep.
He is absolutely tenacious. He is full of confidence. I think he's a fun guy to be around. I think his teammates love him, and he clearly loves his teammates. I mean, he showed up at the podium last night with Brian Branch jersey and all the bling at his giant necklace with the big number 21 encrusted in jewels.
Oh, he believes in himself.
And his sunglasses. And he was fun. It was just fun to see that kind of personality there. But he backs it up on the field. And he loved the punch out. He wanted another one.
248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. It's Carson Anderson. We got open lines. What are the most important thing we've learned about this Lions team heading into the bye? Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. It's Aleem McNeil. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, and it was good to have him back, no doubt about it. 248-539-9797. Lions beat Tampa 24-9 in a game that, I mean, look, it's I feel like it's been dissected a little bit from a, hey, it could have been better standpoint. Of course, every game could be better, but don't. I mean, I think we are all nitpicking a little bit because they just beat the team that led the NFC by 15 points. They held them to 9 points. And I think the game dictated a little bit. Like, Tampa deserves credit for being good defensively, and Todd Bowles deserves credit for being a pain in the butt for the Lions offensively. I would argue strongly more so than anybody else. And so when you get right down to it, it to me felt like an overwhelmingly positive result. And sure, there's always stuff to work on. But the coaches are fully aware of that. I don't know that we're going to point out anything they don't see. And I do find it really interesting that I don't know that every week we need to talk about who didn't get the ball enough, because at the end of the day, it's always going to be someone. There's so many weapons offensively that we can kind of do the, hey, where's so-and-so? These aren't crises that need to get addressed after every game, but there are things that you want to take advantage of. The other thing that's crazy is all the kills, those might have been the deep shots to J-Mo you wanted. All the quarterback under duress stuff that you saw, those might have been the deep shots to J-Mo you wanted to see. You don't always get to execute what the play is called. But let's get back to your open line calls. Jeff is in Detroit. Hello, Jeff.
Come on. How you guys doing?
We're okay.
All right, Jeff, are you all right?
No, I was copying that guy that called
in. Sorry, yes.
Doug, come on.
My apologies to him, yes.
Come on. No, I was calling about Baker Mayfield. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the knock on him, one of the knocks on him when he was coming out was his physical height?
That's part of it, yeah.
Yeah, and to me, he looked, other than the one drive when he after the first half, he looked like he couldn't see downfield. I mean, his ball, he got the ball knocked at least twice, swatted, and he overthrew at least the four or five different receivers that were open. And in my opinion, he just, I don't think you could see the field that well. The pocket collapsed around him constantly. I think he got exposed there a little bit. That's just my opinion. I want to know what you
Yeah, Jeff, I've always thought this with Baker Mayfield, that the knock that I would have on him is the end result of maybe what you're talking about, and that's that he's inaccurate. And he can make plays without question, but he's inaccurate as a passer. Now, is that some of that because he's not 6 foot four or taller and can see over the offensive line? Maybe something, maybe that has something to do with it, but if he's not throwing to the right spot, then obviously he's not going to complete those passes. And he missed a bunch last night, whether they were deep passes. He left the one to Abuka woefully short that was almost picked off that he should have had a touchdown on that. Did not. And then he had 12 passes that were knocked down by defenders, whether it was at the line of scrimmage or if it was defensive backs in the secondary making plays. That's a ton of passes. When you're dropping back to throw 50 passes, he dropped back to throw 54, I guess. He was sacked four times. But the 50 passes, 12 of them are knocked down. That's not good for him.
Did you hear Troy Aikman make the comment at one point? He said, this might be the best defensive performance I've ever seen. He actually said that during the broadcast.
The first half, I think Tampa had 60 yards in offense or something? Less than 60 yards?
No, they were three and out
less machine. Than Jahmyr Gibbs. They had less than Jahmyr Gibbs did.
Tampa had 58. 58 yards on 23 plays. Crazy. It was a dominant defensive performance. That's why I think Kelvin Shepard's emergence as the defensive coordinator here has just been a massive development for this team. He's doing a great job. Feedback coming in. Oh, my God, these fans. We won the freaking game by 15 points with a no-name secondary that showed up and played like hell. We are 5-2 going into the bye. Enjoy it. The same old Lions from years ago would have found 10 ways to lose that game. Unnamed texter, beside defending the pass, the new secondary tackled really well.
They did.
Yep.
But as a team, they tackled very well. Jack Campbell, just a machine out there early on. Really kind of set the tone for the defense.
All right, here's something, Gator, that you've said all along, and now a ticket texter, unnamed texter, is echoing it. Biggest thing I've learned about the Lions, this was always Dan Campbell's team, not Ben Johnson's or Aaron Glenn's team.
Thank you.
Anthony at Mail Truck, I learned that we don't need to worry about the D-line help as much as thought. From Bruno and Dearborn, after seven games, I've learned that this team has some quality depth. Several defensive backs get hurt. The next man in line steps up and shows out. The entire roster is built to perform no matter who they throw out there. Yeah, you know, the moves at the top, the Penei Sewells and the Amon-Ra St. Browns get a ton of attention, and understandably so. And yet it's the moves at the bottom that have also proven to be extraordinarily valuable. Now, I know we all thought Thomas Harper would help. And didn't we all predict Nick Whiteside's impact on this game?
And we've been talking about Eric Hallett for forever.
Exactly.
Not to mention Arthur Mollett.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of those moves. I mean, Tyrus Wheat's the player they got on cut day. And all guys who contributed. And some of these moves at the bottom, or a lot of these moves at the bottom, are turning out to be extraordinarily valuable.
Nick Whiteside, Lauren Strickland. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was real. It's amazing that all these guys, particularly in the secondary, thrown to the wolves against one of the better offensive teams in the league, and they just smacked them right back down. They said, yeah, this moment is not too big for us. We can handle it.
Kang asked a question today, and Kang, I don't remember what your answer was. Who's your favorite no-name defensive back yesterday? Do you have a favorite no-name defensive back?
I think you're asking
Kang. I still don't know their names. Is that what you're asking? I think it was
Thomas White Mullet.
I asked you what Mullet's first name was today. I'm like, what was his first name again?
I thought it was Eric. I'd mix the two. It's Arthur, right?
And it's Eric Hallett.
Yeah.
Eric but Hallett, Arthur Mullet.
The truth is, though, this isn't the last we'll see some of these guys because of the attrition in the NFL. And it's just this just happens. And especially with this team, it seems like.
The
right?
Cold, and the cold hard reality, I like, great job, guys. Some of you are going to get cut. When everybody gets healthy, it sucks.
Yeah, Dan Campbell said after the game last night, he's like, next month we're getting guys back, a lot of guys back. And it's exciting to see what this team can do when they're healthy. Mm-hmm. But there is that downside of it. Now, I would imagine a lot of these guys, well, probably all, none of them want to leave the Lions. So going to the practice squad, knowing that you're probably going to get a call again, because it's just the nature of the business, mm-hmm. That you don't want to go anywhere. So many of these guys were promoted last night, you know, from the practice squad or from being signed. I mean, the notes before the game happened, they had signed Arthur Mullet to the active roster from the practice squad. They elevated Lauren Strickland and Trey Flowers to the active roster from the practice squad. I mean, that's three defensive backs right there in 1 week. They went from practice squad to active roster. So your number is going to be called.
248-539-9797. Sean is next. Hello, Sean. Sean, go ahead.
Sean?
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 Sean. No good. 248-539-9797. Feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. And again, texted to the same number. What do we got here? The Lions offense should have put up 40 points on the Bucs defense last night. Goff was off and held the ball too long several times. Too many runs up the middle for little or no or lost yardage. Put Montgomery and Gibbs in the backfield at the same time on third downs. The defense was fantastic. Okay, so when you write Goff was off and held on to the ball too long several times. Jared Goff, one of his strengths is knowing where to go with the football and delivering accurate throws to the right place. When Goff is holding on to the ball, do you think that's because he's holding on to the ball too long or because Tampa's done a good job locking up receivers downfield? Because it would be completely out of character for Goff to hold on to the ball too long, would it not?
It would be out of character.
Yep. So when you write, he held on to the ball too long several times, are you sure that was the case? Or do you think that Tampa is actually pretty good defensively and did a good job downfield?
I mean, I would agree that it would seem that he held on to the ball too long, but there's a reason why.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you said. Guys are covered. He's looking and he's trying to find the open guy, and guys aren't all that open, and then next thing you know,
throw it away.
He's got to throw it away, or he's getting hit. I mean, he took a bunch of hits in the game. He was sacked four times. He had the fumble. He had the interception. There was clearly some deception going on because, you know, a lot of those sacks were from blitz packages with safeties and corners or whatever, throwing the kitchen sink at him. And the interception he threw, I'm convinced there's no way he saw Jamel Dean over on the one side. He was throwing a deep out to St. Brown. Looked like it was going to be there. And the next thing you know, it's picked off because the defender stepped right in front, who was not the guy covering St. Brown. So it's not an easy game, man.
No, it's not. And look, as far as too many runs up the middle for little, none, or loss of yardage, Tampa did a really good job. They're a good defense. Like, and Vita Vea is
the real deal.
What's amazing is on the 78-yard run, the Lions absolutely blew Tampa off the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that was as well blocked a play as I can remember.
It looked like Tampa wasn't ready for the play.
Something.
Like, they were not set yet. Like, the Lions went quick, and next thing you know, he's going down the sidelines. And you know, when you're at the game and you could see it from a distance, there's no way they're catching up to Jahmyr Gibbs.
No.
Like, it's just not happening, which led to a funny moment after the game. Brad Galley had informed Jared Goff. He said that we wanted him to talk about Jahmyr Gibbs and saying, you know, Gibbs had the two fastest runs in the National Football League, has the two fastest runs in the football league. And Goff goes, am I third? Well, We'll have to get back to you on that.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.